I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 6. We have been working our way through 10 things that God has promised to reward. 10 things. We made it through number 4 last time. We didn't quite finish. So I want to pick up with this particular one. Love your enemies. And we're in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, which says, "But love ye your enemies." Love your enemies. This is probably one of the most difficult of things because enemies are not nice. Enemies normally are troublemakers. Enemies create havoc and chaos. And God has commanded us to love them. And we're going to be looking at that a little more deeply today as we do number 4 and then move into number 5, the generous giving, which is also in Luke chapter 6. We're going to reread verses 31 through 38. To take in the teaching in this regard. But love your enemies. And I left last time with this verse of Scripture from Luke 23 and verse 34. It says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, this is important for us to understand that people in this world who attack Christians, people who hate the sound of the gospel, want nothing to do with the Bible, for the most part, don't know what they're doing. Please do not think that somehow they all know what they're doing, they're all getting together and they're thinking this all through. They don't. They're being heavily influenced by Satan, heavily influenced by Satan's minions and all those that follow after Satan. They are easily impressed. And I'm going to get into this a little bit today. Hopefully we'll make it to this point about the fact that most people are not discerning and they're easily deceived. That's why Antichrist will be able to capture the thoughts and imaginations of an entire world. Because for the most part, people are easily deceived. Christ showed grace toward those who killed him. Christ reached out to those who rejected him. And we need to understand that the motive behind that was his love for them. And he told us, love your enemies. I want us to think about this a little more deeply. By having convictions, we make ourselves the enemies of those who oppose these convictions. The woke crowd. All right, we hear so much about. They oppose our convictions. They oppose anything that we stand for. All right? That puts them on one side and us on the other side. Now that's important. Our convictions place us in this position where we're the targets of the cancel culture, the woke crowd wanting to destroy anything that has any resemblance to Christianity. They hate and despise because they hate our Lord. That's important to keep in mind. Let's think about the word enemy for just a moment. In the Latin, this is interesting, inimicus is the Latin word, and it means simply not a friend. Not a friend. Of course, not everyone who is not a friend is therefore an enemy. All right? There's a lot of people that you may not be friends with, but they're not enemies. Okay? Enemies are opponents, not opponents for play. Our girls' volleyball and boys and girls' soccer played in a tournament this past weekend. And I think the girls had close to 12 different teams that are in the volleyball tournament, and there was close to 8, I think, in the soccer tournament. And we played against different schools from all around the region. They're not our enemies, all right? We're not going in there and then body bags go out the back door. They're not our enemies. They're opponents. We're playing them in a game. But when the game's over, we can shake hands and move on with life. Now, people that can't do that, that have a real hard time with that, that harbor hatred, something's seriously wrong with them. They don't understand. But for the most part, enemies are those that have mutual opposition with us in matters of deep concern. It's So once again, that puts us on one side and them on the other. Let's go on further. Their goals are opposed to our highest aspirations. Thus, out of conviction, we must actively try to prevent them from reaching their goals. Do I hear an amen? We're active. We stand for righteousness. The Bible says that we're to be light and salt. And what does salt do? Salt preserves. Salt burns a wound. You ever get salt water in a wound or whatever? Or maybe gargle with salt water if you got a sore throat. It doesn't feel too good. But over time, it helps you to heal because there's a healing aspect to salt. God has commanded us to be light and salt. Thus, out of conviction, we must actively try to prevent them from reaching their goals. We can do this lovingly or not. And thus, we find ourselves head-on confronted with the possibility to love or the possibility of the love of enemies. How often do we not love our enemies? I don't know about you, but there's some political people that if I see their picture in the paper, I'm just repulsed. All right, I'll be honest with you. All right, I won't name any names, but I could. And I see their picture and I see what they're doing to the United States of America, and I'm repulsed by that. But do you know that God's commanded me to love them? God's commanded me to love them. And so I pray for them that they'll be saved by the blood of the crucified one, that they'll come to the faith in Jesus Christ. I am to love them and seek their well-being through what person of the Trinity? Jesus Christ. Now, I said all that to say this, and this is going to take us in this same passage to the next thing about how we're to respond to our enemies. Look at this verse again that we just talked about in verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and, what's that next word? Lend. Lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, we're going to get into several of these thoughts here because there are some rewards that are promised. There are some rewards. Now, skip on down to verse 38 because this is what I'm going to focus on, and then we'll go back up and look at some of these other thoughts that the Lord says and promises He will reward. Verse 38, give. Remember, we were told in verse 35, do good and lend, for your Father is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, what has the Lord just said there? I am to give, I am to lend to those who are not very nice. That's what He's saying there. And when you do that, when you respond in a kind way, God will respond to you in the way that you responded to Him in following His Word. I borrowed some things from Mrs. Schmitz. All right. This is her big ice scoop. It will be washed after we're done here. I've already been told that. So I've got a scoop. This is also a scoop. All right. Got two different sizes. And here's another scoop. All right. We've got an ice cream social on Wednesday. Now, if you're going through the line, which scoop would you like to use for your ice cream? All right? I know some of the kids here. This one right here. All right? And it still wouldn't be enough. All right? And can you imagine getting a glob of ice cream that big? All right? Maybe, I didn't get one of the ice cream scoopers, but maybe something would be a little bit better with this. All right? But what if we're standing in line and one of the ladies has this little scoop right here. Banana split social. Scoop that up. Be warmed and filled. Next! All right. Now, it would be melted before it hit the bottom of the little banana split bowl. That's how small it is, all right? Maybe we'll do 2 scoops. Put it in there. Be warmed and filled. Next! Move along. Now, I promise we won't use this scoop on Wednesday. All right, make that promise. The measure by which you meet will be the same measure that God uses when He deals with you. So if you're this kind of Christian that'll reach out and be generous to those that despise you and hate you and say all kind of manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, God will take the same scoop and He'll pour it out on you. If you go to this side, I just can't do that. I'm going to do this. Now, some people don't have much. Maybe this is the largest that they can give, but they give it. Remember the widow? She gave of what she had. She didn't have much, but she gave it all. And the Lord honored her in Scripture. So, we use this. God will come along, He'll take that same size, and He'll dish it up for you. But what about this one? Okay? Little baby scoop. All right, now this is great for vanilla extract, because you don't want a lot, you know, in your baking or whatever. 1 teaspoon. This is how I'm going to help the missionaries. This is how I'm going to help those that are in need. I'm going to take my scoop and I'm going to pour it out. May God bless it. And we walk away and we pat ourselves on the back. And God comes along and says, this is what you used. This is what I'm going to use. Scoop it up. There you go. That's what this verse is saying. Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's the reward. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together. Did they do that with the potato chip companies? How many of you buy those big bags, and when you open it up, there's a big puff of air? And if it's Cheetos, your face is covered with Cheeto dust. All right? And you look down in that bag, hello, 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 hello. Where are my Cheetos, Cheetos, Cheetos? They're way down in the middle of the bag, okay? Measured by weight, they say. Why do they use such a huge bag? How about cereal boxes? Don't you love that? I don't eat cereal anymore. But it's been an amazing thing over the years. I remember as a kid, Mom and Dad used to buy us Cheerios and so forth like that. And you'd get the new box and you'd open it up, and there was about this much space between the top of the bag and the next level. Do you know that that space has increased through the years? Okay, measured by weight. What does that mean? Well, they weigh it, and whenever it reaches that weight, and then they seal that bag and they put it in a really big box, and you think you're getting something really good, when in reality, you're not getting a whole lot. You see, when we try to do that to God, He'll return the favor. That's what He's saying here. Whatever measure, all right? For with that same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I don't know about you, but I kind of like salad bars and food bars. At Golden Corral, the Ryans, they used to have a food bar there. Ruby Tuesday has a nice salad bar. My wife and I enjoy that. I have to put on the plastic gloves now, and you go through the line. And they've got some yummy stuff there. There's some stuff I have to stay away from, but for the most part, it's good for you, and I enjoy that, all right? And they have those nice big plates, but I've been to salad bars before where they gave you this little tiny bowl, all right? Everybody know what you're talking about? Little teeny tiny bowl, all right? Here's your salad bowl, and you go through the line, and you take and you put your salad in, and it's already overflowing, all right? And you look down that line, and you see all those yummy things you want to put into it, and then you have to do little small amounts to be able to get it inside that little tiny bowl that you stack up really tall, and then you make a big mess at your table when you're trying to eat it, and it's all falling off, All right? Wouldn't you like a bigger bowl? Wouldn't you like a bigger plate? The point is this, Christian. Generous giving is rewarded on the same basis of your generosity. Now, why did God choose to do that? Because He established a standard. And you know what His standard was? His Son, Jesus Christ. I thought about this in regard to this thing. How large is your measuring scoop? How big was God's measuring scoop to us? It was His Son. He gave His only begotten Son. Now, who can measure up to that? And He gave it to us, His Son. When you begin to understand His point of view, then we can start to think about how we're supposed to respond to others. Now, remember the context of this passage. Love your enemies and do good, verse 35. And, what's that next word? Lend. What does it mean to lend a hand? All right? It means to reach out to somebody. Maybe somebody fell down on the ground and you go over and you lend a hand and you reach down there and you pick them up. All right? What are you doing? You're engaging them to assist them because they can't get up on their own. They need help. When I was at Bob Jones University, one of the first winters that I was there in 1984, I think it was, we had an ice storm like you wouldn't believe. I wasn't used to it. I was wearing hush puppies. I was the most uncool guy on campus. All right? I had hush puppies because my dad had hush puppies. Anybody know what I'm talking about, hush puppies? I'm not talking about Gator's hush puppies that are so good. You don't eat these. You wear them. All right? And I was wearing them, and I got out on the sidewalk, and I literally just started sliding. And I grabbed a hold of the pole. While I was hanging onto the pole, a girl comes flying by me, sliding on the ice, hits the ground, going face forward. Her boots went everywhere. And so some of us guys, we made our way over there, slipping and sliding, and you talk about a debacle of a scene. There was about a quarter inch of ice on the sidewalks. We're all gathered around trying to help this girl up, and we were all falling, and one would go down, another one we'd try to pull, and we were all out there and said, "Let's get off the sidewalk." So we went over into the grass. It was a whole lot easier to do that. But on that concrete, we were having a difficult time. We were trying to help, but we weren't much of help. We didn't have on the right shoes, number one. We were trying to do it on an iced over concrete sidewalk. It was a lot easier when we stepped over into the grass right next to it. Yeah, there was ice there, but it wasn't as slippery as what it was on that concrete. I think sometimes we don't consider the principles that God has established in this passage of Scripture, and we get very selfish. We get very selfish. We focus upon ourselves. We focus upon what we're going to do. We're focused upon how we're going to live and this over like that. And people are secondary, third, they're down the way there. And we're not even conscious that not only are we supposed to help Christians, Christian, we're also supposed to help those that aren't Christians. Are you listening to me this morning? I've sat through a lot of sermons through the years in college and different places, and I've heard messages on giving, and it primarily focuses on Christians, 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 Christians. This passage right here says, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And we're going to get into that next principle. You mean I'm supposed to help those that are my enemies? Yes. Treat others, verse 31 of this passage, as you would want to be treated. Would you want to be treated with respect? Okay? Do you want to be treated like this? Okay. Buffet line right down here. I remember the old cafeteria over in Pensacola. I forget the name of it. It was a Morrison's. But there was one that was over there off of Fairfield that had some kind of a Norwegian name or Scandinavian. Yeah. What was it? Yeah, it was a cafeteria, and it spun around, and it had plates of, it had meat on one plate, and it just went around this, yeah, Duff's, that's right. And I remember Mr. Bean took me out. I used to clean his room in seventh grade, and he said, Todd, you've been cleaning my room up through from the beginning of school to the end of school. I'm going to take you over to Duff's. I had never been there before, and I remember standing there, and my jaw was right on the ground. Look at that food! And it had these carousels that it went around, and you could look at it, and they were constantly putting more pies and more pecan pies and more this and more that and all this food, and it wasn't just one kind, it was multiple kinds. And I remember there, I had all these different plates that I was juggling. I gave you a tray, so you carried it out to your table and you sat it down there. And I want to tell you something, it was enjoyable. I don't know how they made any money. And by the way, they're out of business, right? They went out of business, right? It's probably because it cost too much money. But I remember that to this day, that whenever they scooped something on your plate, they didn't use this. They had a big scoop. Reminded of my grandmother at Thanksgiving time when she dished up the dressing. She didn't use a tablespoon. My grandmother had this huge ladle spoon. It came from the United States Navy because it said USN on it. All right? Pop remembers that big old scoop. And she'd go down inside that dressing and she'd scoop it up and plop it on our plate. It made this look like a little baby. All right? Now, folks, we got to get back to biblical thinking. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Look at verse 31 of this passage. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Is it speaking only about Christians? No. It says men, mankind. Why do we always just train our thoughts in and just focus in right on Christians? I think that our evangelism has failed in many regards because all we can think about is ourselves, and we can't think about a lost and dying world out there, and we can't reach out to them and help them. That's a problem. We're to love our enemies, and we're to be generous with them. Be gracious, number two, and merciful like your Father above. Look at verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Does God send rain only to Christians? What has the Bible said about that? He sends it to those that are regenerate and those that are unregenerate. We all get rain. I have never been down a street where there was a rain cloud only Christians' houses. And then you go, there was a drought over at this house, and then you went down to the next one, and it was pouring down. I've never seen that. Because our God is merciful. Now, right now out west, they're having a terrible time. They're rationing water in California. Utah area is so dry right now, the lakes are drying up. Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico. Right now, they're seeing ruins from the gold rush in California that they haven't seen in almost 160 years. You can see the outline of the buildings. And all that area has been flooded. But now there's no rain. And it's all drying up, the lake beds. Be gracious and merciful like your Father above. You think we can do that, Christians? Not just to Christians, but to the lost as well. And then thirdly, be generous because you will reap what you sow. And that's what this verse is telling us. Be generous because remember, what did I do with my baby one? Here he is. You use this, what's God going to use? He's going to use this one. You use this, which one is God going to use? He's going to use this one, same one. You use this, and God will pick it up and He'll use the same thing in your heart and my life. That's what this passage is saying. So you and I are to be generous, not just with Christians, but with those around us that are lost, to reach out, and you might as well understand, you may have an open door of opportunity to reach out. Reach out to them. Back when COVID hit back last March or so,
neighbor down the street. She was battling some sickness. She didn't have COVID, but she was sitting out on her porch, so I just pulled a truck over. I was going around the corner. I'm going to go in and see her. So I just pulled off the road and went up there and talked to her, and we had a good conversation. I witnessed to her, and she said, "I've been watching your kids grow up on this street, go from little kids all the way up to adults." And I apologized to her about the muffler situation on all of our boys' trucks. She said, "Yeah, I know when your boys get home." But we had a good chance to talk. And then she made something like that and said, "Pastor Todd, I'm going through a really rough time right now. Is there any way that you could help me out with some food?" Now, I didn't know that. I said, "Yes, ma'am." So I ran down to the grocery store and I came back and I brought her some food, and she had a smile from one side to the other, and she said, "I'm going to go fix me something to eat." She was going through a difficult time. She had lost her husband. One of her boys had been very sick, and she had spent a lot of money trying to get him to doctors and so forth like that, and because of that, she was hit hard. She was in the process of applying to get some aid and so forth like that, but she was at that moment hungry. So for the next 2 weeks, I brought her frozen dinners and things of that nature so she could help, got her through that time. And finally she told me, she said, "Pastor Brainerd, I'm doing good now. The money's now come in to help me out, so I'm doing fine. Thank you so much." And I had an open door, and still do this day. Her son came up to me, came back, and said, "I want to thank you for helping Mama out during that time." I had never met this boy. I'd waved at him 1,000 times. Going by, he was either getting on a school bus or getting off a school bus, and now he's grown. You don't know what opportunities will open up for you, Christian, if you step outside your little comfy zone and be generous. Be generous. Number 6, hospitality that cannot be repaid. How about this category? Look at our passage again. This is Luke 14. Let's turn over there. To keep your place there in Luke 6, let's turn over to Luke 14 for just a moment, beginning at verse 12. "Then said he to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made to thee." Wow. I'm already convicted. How about you? How about you? I'm already convicted. When you get together, okay, you're going to have a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, your brothers and sisters, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made to thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. There's a reward. You reached out to people that couldn't pay you back. You know, this is scratch my back, scratch your back thing has been going on for thousands of years, has it not? We tend to gravitate toward those people that can continue to pay us back, right? We gravitate to those that can pay us back. You do them a good deed, I know the good deed's coming back to me. They're gonna come back bigger than whatever I did. But have you ever stepped out into the other realm to help those that cannot help themselves? Yesterday I was going back and forth with Thang. He sent me a picture of the motorcycle that the church was able to get. And it was made in Thailand. The floodwaters had subsided, so he went down there and he got the motorcycle that the owner had promised. And he sent a picture. His wife took the picture of him. And he said, "Would you please thank the people of Grace Bible Church in Milton, Florida? I will never see you on this earth because I cannot afford to come to you. But you've come to me." Now, we're never going to get a dime from the churches in Myanmar. That's not the point. The point is we reached out to the other side of the world to help a missionary who lives in a Nipa hut. He sent me a picture of his wife and young daughter yesterday, and a picture, he said, "This is our house." 4 feet up off the ground, and they're in a Nipa hut there, and they don't have air conditioning. They don't even have electricity. They have battery power that they use for charging up their cell phones and stuff like that. But he was showing me a picture of where they lived and what they're doing. These people can never pay us back. But we reached out in love and generosity. They're poor. Dirt poor, as my grandmother used to say. Dirt poor. They have nothing. We had a long back and forth this week. And he said, Pastor Brainerd, he said, you in America have so much. We here in Bago have nothing. We make our houses out of bamboo. We make our roofs. We don't have the nice tile and shingles and stuff that you have. We have bamboo roofs. He said, I don't know why I'm here and you're there, but I do know this. We'll all be together someday in heaven. And I said, amen. And I said, your mansion's probably going to be a whole lot bigger than mine. Yeah. Not able to repay. Go back to Luke 6 for just a moment. We see this, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for what again? Nothing. Nothing. Again. And your reward shall be what? Great. I think it has all the meanings of great in that word. Remember the old cereal box that had Tony the Tiger? It's great. All right? Now what does great mean? Well, great can be big. Or great can be wonderful. And I want to tell you something. God's rewards are both. Amen? They're both. But we got to get out of ourselves. We've got to get out of ourselves. Well, I'm only going to give to people that can give back. It's going to be a mighty small reward. Mighty small. You got to think outside about those that are struggling with great difficulty. I saw Stephanie the other day, whose husband back in the spring was in a terrible automobile accident, their little daughter. We reached out to them as a church. Saw her this week. She got out of her car and she came over and gave me a hug and we talked for just a few moments. And James is doing really well. He's back to work and doing well. And she said, I want to thank you and your church for reaching out to us. And then she said this, we can never repay. And I said, that's not the point. The point is, you needed help at that particular time. She said, we sure did. And your church came through in such a powerful way for us. Listen, folks, whenever we are generous to those that cannot pay us back, we start learning how things are on God's side. You know, that's how God's operated ever since the curse. He just keeps on giving and keeps on giving. And what does man do? Thumbs his nose at God. Thumbs his nose at God in every generation. He sent his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's tree, and the message goes out, but for the most part, it's rejected. Not many wise, not many noble are called. God expects us to operate on the same principle that he operates on. I thought about this picture that was recently posted. This man was in his 90s. He ran a 5K. He was struggling. So some of the runners that were with him came alongside of him and took both arms and helped him across the finish line. When I first looked at that, I said, was my dad in a race? Looks like Phil Brainerd, doesn't it? But I would hope that if my dad was struggling like that, that somebody would come along and help if I couldn't be there to do it myself. How does this verse change your attitude towards showing hospitality to others who cannot repay? How many of you think that's a good question? How does this verse affect me as I look at people all around me and I continuously gravitate back to Christians over here? God wants me to do good and lend to those that cannot repay, hoping for nothing in return. How can you overcome your aversion to helping others who cannot reciprocate? We have an aversion to that. We struggle with that. We don't want to go there. We'll help out our children. We'll help out our grandchildren. We'll help out our family members. We'll help out our close friends. But then beyond that, not me. And God said the otherwise. Be otherwise. Luke 14. Help those that cannot repay. That brings us to number 7, and I'm just going to introduce this because our time is gone. Number 7, endurance through pressures. And we're going to be getting into 2 Corinthians 4, Lord willing, next week, and verses 17 through 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. How about that, Christian? We're spending all of our time looking at things that are seen. While we look not to the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm going to close with this thought. When I was growing up, I had a couple of favorite bicycles and I had a favorite go-kart that my dad had bought us. I think quite often of that little go-kart. I told the kids in my Bible class that we had some of the dorm kids over to our house. And one of them was Kim Clyburn. Anybody remember Kim Clyburn? She was related to Van Clyburn, the famous concert pianist. And Kim came to school here for a few years. She's passed on, by the way. Passed away a number of years ago. But I got a letter from her. 1977. I was in 7th grade. She was in 10th grade. And I got a letter from her, and she said, "You know, the most fun I've ever had, Todd, was whenever I came over to your house and rode your go-kart." Now, our go-kart was a piece of junk, all right? We were forever looking for the master link of the chain. It would pop off, and we would be out there with magnets going along trying to find the master link so we could put the chain together so we could ride the go-kart. I burned my hands so many times on the tailpipe on it, I lost count. I still have calluses on my hand from the burns from 1976, 1977, in those years that we were riding it. But Kim Clyburn, who grew up in a very affluent area of Los Angeles, knew all that kind of stuff, said, "You know, the most fun I've ever had was riding a go-kart in your backyard." Now, Kim's gone now. I remember riding her back, and I said, "Well, anytime you want to come over," Mom and Dad said, "it's fine." And she did come over a couple of times after that, and then she never, I don't think she ever finished school here. She ended up going back to Los Angeles. But I thought about her in this regard. You can have a lot of things in this world and not be happy. Sometimes it's the very simple things of life that have more meaning. And that's the point of what we're going to get into here when we consider endurance through pressure. Some people run constantly from pressure. Well, we're going to talk about the cross, and we're going to talk about what that means. The cross, it said, pick up your cross and follow me. What does that mean? I'm picking up suffering. I'm picking up suffering to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a part of our development as believers. If there's no suffering, then we don't appreciate grace. And we're going to get into that because there's some rewards linked to this, as we're going to see. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time spent today looking at these things that you've shared in Luke chapter 6 and Luke chapter 14. And we just pray, Father, that you would help us to consider the truth that's here, that we not just focus our attention on friends and Christians, but realize there's a lost and dying world out there and they need help. And I pray that you would help us to look out beyond our borders, and that we might reach out to those who are lost, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.